I'm Josh Liston from On The Bubble Podcast, a proud member of the Gunner Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at gunnergeeknetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Get your notepads ready and welcome to episode number 151 of Better Podcasting. On this show, we discuss podcast episodes, special events.
In this week's Better Podcasting Download, we lament the closing of Google Plus and talk about Apple's fall surprise for podcasters.
And finally, in this week's Better Podback, we find out why you podcast.
Lauren, start the show now. I need to plus one something, but it's not happening on Google.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew, and Stargate Pioneer.
Welcome to episode 1 plus 150 of Better Podcasting. I am Stephen John Drew, and with me, of course, is Stargate Pioneer.
You're going to make me do math in public, 1 plus 150. Wow, that could be difficult depending on what kind of day you've had. But it doesn't matter what kind of day you've had, because we are now podcasting, so it is a great day to be podcasting on Better Podcasting. Tell you what, Stephen, we love to start off our shows with a how I saved my podcast story, or a how I could have saved my podcast story, which we then take from the interwebs and talk about how we think we could have done better or what we would have done in that situation. But this week, this actual moment, we have a how I saved my podcast story.
Whoa. So let's go ahead and dial that up right now and play the clip. Dialing noise.
Hello, my name is SP, longtime listener, first time caller, and this is a how I saved my podcast story. So it's not out yet, but I will publish it after we record this episode. It's Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., episode number 252. We talked about Legion on that show, Legion chapter 15, actually, which is the, oddly enough, the seventh episode of the second season. Don't get me started on the title and the number of the seasons and everything. Anyway, the point is, on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we record over the internet, over Google Hangouts, and we do multi-enders, so everybody's recording their own tracks. I record my own track, plus the track that's coming in, plus a separate track for my soundboard. Lauren records her track, Haley records her track, Michelle records her track, and usually either Haley or Michelle or both of them also record the other side, because they have that capability, so they do that. Well, in this particular instance, Lauren's recording was completely unusable. First of all, it was clipping to high heaven and kickback. And second of all, she actually mixed the two recordings. I'm not exactly sure how that happened. I think her mixer is starting to go, and we've had other issues. She's started on channel 1. She moved to channel 2. She's now on channel 3. It's been a progressive fail. And in the meantime, though, she combined the audio and she discovered it before she sent it to me, because she imported it to her PC in order to convert it to FLAC. We talked about that before on the podcast, how we actually transfer our files in FLAC form rather than WAV form. It's still lossless, but it's a lot smaller, like a quarter to a third the size of a WAV file. So when she opened it, while we were still actually communicating, she goes, "Oh no, oh no. Oh, this is not usable." So she knew right away, because she edits her own audio for her audiobook story narrations that she does. And she told me that it wasn't good. So Haley spoke up and said, "Well, I recorded the other side. Why don't you take mine?" So I did. I took everybody's files. I threw it into my file editor finally, because we recorded this back in, August, late August, and it's October when I'm actually editing it. Well, it happens from time to time. And I took a look at it and basically I went, you know what? I'm going to have to use my recording of everybody's side and take that as the prime. But I did mix in audio a little bit when different hosts were coughing or they had desk noise or something like that. So I did mix that out. But for the most part, I took my recording and that is how I saved my podcast. Once again, that's Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode 252. If you're listening after this podcast has been promoted or published, then that one definitely is published because it'll be tonight after we finish this live recording. So that is how I saved my podcast.
Wow. So you slaved lots of hours trying to mix the two together. Is that what we got out of that?
It wasn't just two. It was like seven different tracks. And on top of that, I forgot to hit record on OBS when we started. So I had to download the live Google Hangout and then mix that in for the first 3 minutes. So I've got about 17 different tracks that I'm working in movie studio.
Wow. You know, situations like that, it kind of makes you want to just like do bad voice dubbing. So like whenever there is a problem, you could just go in there and in your best Lauren voice, you can say what she was saying or whatever. Probably faster than editing.
I'm Lauren and I know everything and SP, you're wrong. Yeah, that's basically it. That's all I'd have to dub in.
Awesome. So before we get into our main topic, we want to hit on two things. Number one, if you have a How I Save My Podcast story, please send it to us. Let us know through any of the ways. You can go ahead and you can find us at BetterPod on Twitter. You can go to facebook.com/betterpodcasting or email podcast@betterpodcasting.com. Keep in mind that we are a full video show as well. So if you want to send us a video clip, go ahead and just let us know what went wrong. How did you save it so that we can all learn together? The second thing that I got before we head on to our main segment is those of you who are longtime listeners might know that I use a Zoom L12 for my audio mixer, and it's an audio mixer and recorder. Well, this past week, they released a new firmware update version 2.0. And there were some feature changes. We'll leave it at that. Tease that for the future. But yes, there were a couple of feature changes. So if you are using a Zoom L12, know that there is a firmware update out. I just wanted to make sure to mention that because I do know there are some people who listen who bought L12s based off of our discussion. One of them very, very recently. So there you go. There's a brand new firmware update. But let's go ahead and move on to our featured segment. Here we go.
Here at Better Podcasting, we talk about how it's important to have fun with your podcast. And often when people get in the groove of their show, they find themselves going through the same routines over and over and over and over and over and over. And let's be honest, while you're probably still having fun, the reality is that repetitiveness can get a bit boring in some ways, probably both to you and your listener. So that's why podcasters can find it enticing to act on opportunities that come along to shake things up. And today we're going to talk about those opportunities to do special events.
So we've got this broken down into a few categories. We've got considerations, common themes, types of special events, and some tips. And we'll kick it off, of course, with some considerations you might have if you're wanting to do some special events. So before we talk about all of this, let's just talk about the fact that when you want to do a special event, you should consider why you might want to do this. Like we said at the start, you might want to shake it up if you've been feeling that your show's been a little stale or that you are otherwise sort of stagnant. You might want to add a special episode just to shake things up and add a little bit of freshness. Heck, you might have even had listeners request that you cover a certain event or something where it would make sense to do a special event for your show. There might even be something special that you're just itching to do that doesn't fit with your usual format. This is a great opportunity to do a special event on your show. So another reason that you might want to do a special event is that maybe you're thinking about doing a soft pilot of a new show idea that you had, or maybe even a format change for your show. This is a great opportunity to do a special event show. How many crime scene shows on CBS have you seen where they've just launched from within another crime scene show. I believe that there was actually CSI podcaster edition, colon, the media host edition, colon, the self-hosting edition. I think that those were all spinoffs of themselves, and they often launch these through soft pilots within an existing show. So this is a great way that you can utilize special events to maybe leverage your show. The Flash on CW television, that was originally a little bit of a cameo on the Arrow television show, and then that gave birth to a bunch of other options, or a bunch of other programs, I should say. So absolutely, soft pilots might be a great reason for you to do a special event on your show. Now, SP, let me ask you this. What are some reasons why you might want to avoid doing a special event?
Well, that's an interesting question. If the idea is pretty much a polar opposite of what you usually cover, you probably don't want to actually cover it. For example, if you're talking about automotive issues on a music podcast, those probably don't mix too well. And it's important to remember that your audience is coming to your show expecting a certain theme. And by changing that theme drastically, you might alienate some listeners. And I'll give you an example, Steven. I don't know if you remember this or not, but I remember reviewing a show that had applied to the Gunna Geek Network that had focused on a main topic, but then strayed. They strayed in two different ways. They strayed with special episodes, like they went out to do live coverage at a certain event, and they weren't talking about the theme of their podcast. They were talking about how marketing works for this business or whatever, and it was totally not the geeky theme of the show. And they also did secondary segments within the show that was completely unrelated to the main theme of the show. Now, I applaud them for going out and broadening the scope of their show, but the differentiation in content, it just didn't work for me personally. And if my opinion, if you're going to do this regularly, it's time to start a second show and not incorporate those different topics within your first show. So those are some examples of why you wouldn't want to cover a special event, because it's too different from your main topic. But that brings us to our next point, Steven.
Yeah, maybe one of the reasons you want to avoid doing a special event on your show is because maybe you've done one before and it was a disaster. Maybe it drove your audience away. You saw that your numbers went from 100,000 like they are here on Better Podcasting down to 1 like they are when SP's away. So absolutely, maybe that's been your experience with special events. Obviously, it's your show and everything, but you want to pay attention to what your audience likes as well. And so if you failed at one before, you might want to think about holding off doing another. The other reason you might want to avoid doing a special events show is because you're doing it just because you feel like you have to. Maybe it's a fad, or you're seeing other people doing it. Just because everybody has done something doesn't mean that you need to do it with your podcast. You should have a reason that you want to do this special event. And it should be more than "I did it because I saw SP do it."
Yeah, please don't do it because you saw me do it. That's not in your best interest or your audience's best interest at all. However, sometimes I do things based on the same reasons why you would want to do it. So if you're copying it, the why, and it works for you, then that is good for both you and your audience. All right, those are some of the reasons that you might not want to do a special event episode. So now we're going to move into some of the common themes of what sort of special episodes that you might want to do. And we're going to give some examples here of things, of special events that we think would fit within shows. And if you have any, by the way, that we don't cover, feel free to let us know and we'll talk about it in a future show. So the first themes that we're going to talk about are seasonal. The holidays, you know, we call it Christmas here on this show, but you know, whatever holiday that you celebrate near the end of the year.
Happy Festivus.
Whatever you want to call it. Yep, that is a special episode. We're in the month of October as we record this episode. Halloween or spooky story episodes that always work. Matter of fact, that was the genesis of this topic because I was remembering a special episode that I once listened to of the podcast. It's the reason I'm podcasting now. If you have some sort of awards, and if it's your awards that you're giving for the topic that you're actually covering, that's pretty good. Like if on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Starling Tribune, we wanted to give awards for like best scene, best writer, for us that we thought of the different shows that we cover, whether it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Arrow, Legends of tomorrow, you know, whatever we're covering, that could be cool to work in there as well. I've listened to a lot of different podcasts that do that.
My favorite version of that was actually when you guys did on the Starling Tribune, and you did the award show, which was the top 10 reasons why Steven's awesome. There was 10 different awards given out about why I was awesome. It was an incredible episode.
Full disclaimer, that episode never actually happened. So another seasonal theme would be like national holidays, you know, the 4th of July, or I guess is it the 1st or the 2nd of July up in Canada? It's the 1st of July. So it's our national holiday that we celebrate our country. In the United States case, it's independence. In Canada's case, it's Hail to the Queen time. So those national holidays could be something that you'd want to have a special episode on as well. So that's the seasonal themes. There are also like major event themes, which you could do a special coverage of, right, Stephen?
Absolutely. A great example of that is happening right now in the last couple of months, and it's launches of hardware. A lot of tech companies or tech podcasts, I should say, take advantage of the tech company launching products this sort of time of year, and they make special event episodes. Or maybe there's big news events going on elsewise, like the launch of Starman, that awesome SpaceX flying car through space. A lot of podcasters took the opportunity to do a special event on that. Maybe there's trailer coverage if you're into entertainment on your podcast for a new film or a new television show coming out. You could make a whole special episode just about that. Or perhaps there's webisode coverage for a big TV show that you're covering. That's definitely something that you could talk about as well, just those specific webisodes.
Fun fact, that is actually how the podcast that inspired me to podcast started. They started covering webisodes of a show that they were watching.
Oh, that's awesome. And in our last one here that we've got, I'll let you say this because I know that this is something that is near and dear to your heart.
Right. So fundraisers, charitable fundraisers, whether that's the video game event where people play video games for 24 hours in support of some charity, or whether you're doing a charitable event for the end of the year, you're raising money for toys for kids, you know, whatever it is, if you're doing a fundraiser, make sure you're staying legal and that you're paying all the appropriate taxes on donations, or you're working within some sort of, in the United States, it's called a 501c3. It's an actual IRS designation for a charitable donation. So make sure you're doing all that, but you can actually spend a coverage of an episode or a live event to cover fundraisers for charity.
No, that's a really good one. And one that a lot of people do take advantage of, especially during the holiday season. And the last type of theme of event that you might want to do is perhaps just an annual tradition. Maybe it's just something that you've baked into your show. Like maybe every year, your last couple of shows that you have are talking about your previous year's gear purchases. Maybe that's something that you would do.
You just slid that in there to remind me that I have to start my list, right, Steven?
Yeah, I was thinking of that today. I totally have to do the same thing here. Now let's talk about some actual types of special events that you can do. So this is a little different than the themes for your special events. We want to talk about the actual different ways that you can have these special events. Now, let's start with the most obvious. It's one that's probably been in your head this entire time, mostly because of some language we use, but maybe it's a full-length episode special event. These are generally ones that are just a theme throughout an entire episode. Now, while this might be a topic or a specific point of conversation for that episode, it might be something different. Like maybe your format is the same, but for your winter festival episode, you have winter festival music instead of your usual audio bumps. Or if you're doing a video show, you modify your overlay to be Christmassy. I totally do that on the Gunna Geek Show each year. It's lots of fun. So that's another way that you can do a full length episode special event. Or another example is the special episode we did here on episode 117, where we had Jason Bryant and Emily Prokop on to host the show called Better Better Podcasting.
You can find it at betterbetterpodcasting.com. And Steven, by the way, you're not the only one that has to prepare for the holiday episode. The rest of us have to find our Christmas hats. Little Santa hats. Yeah, yeah. So another thing that you could do is special segments, and this doesn't necessarily need to be an entire show. It could just be that you make room in your regular episode for a special feature segment. This can be a great compromise to balance your audience's usual taste with something that's new. For example, this last year on the Gonna Geek show, Steven did a retelling of A Christmas Carol, and that was a segment within the actual show. And I think that worked great because we had our normal end of the year show, and then we sprinkled in Steven's great production of A Christmas Carol. And another thing that you could do is not just one episode, but a multi-part arc. So multiple episodes. You can make a special feature span several different episodes, 2, 3, 4, 5, or maybe like you could do it in trilogy fashion, like Star Wars, and you have the original trilogy, and then you go back, and then you do another, maybe a prequel trilogy, and then you wait 30 years, and then you come back and do the final actual trilogy. Maybe that won't work for podcasting, but you get my point. You could do it in batches of trilogies. So you can do it any which way. There's no hard, fast rules on any of this. Let's just give an example on what a trilogy could be. This month on Steven's paint drying podcast, we're going to feature latex paints. Each episode will be about a different manufacturer. So you could go down all the manufacturers, Interlux, DuPont, you know, whatever paint manufacturers are out there.
Use promo code BETTERPODCASTING at No, we're not doing that.
And you will get absolutely squad.
We've got a couple examples on some things that we think might make really good types of special features. And this one here is one that I just encourage everybody to plug and promote. Because those of you who are familiar with Emily Prokop, she does a wonderful podcast called The Story Behind Podcast. And she's about to launch a book. And that would be a great example, would be Emily Prokop's book launch, making a special feature just for that.
That's right. Her book comes out a couple of days after this podcast comes out. So make sure you check for The Story Behind by Emily Prokop on Amazon, and you will get a great book. I've already pre-ordered. I'm good on that. Another great example of a special event, which we have actually partaken in Better Podcasting through our extended audience, is Jason Bryant. Remember when Jason Bryant went down to the Olympics and he was announcing the Olympics? That was awesome, Jason, by the way. He took the time to maybe record a couple of interviews down there. So that was kind of a special event, which he could interweave back into his regular podcast. He couldn't actually get a podcast done when he was down there. Time differences. He was working 12 hours a day and so on and so forth. But that was a great example. Take advantage. If you're going to be like a keynote of an event like Jason was, I mean, let's face it, nobody's going to the Olympics to see Jason, but they're going to see the wrestlers.
I would go.
Of course you would. But they're going to see the wrestlers, which Jason is actually announcing. So it was a special time for Jason, and he took advantage of that, which is great. And also, this is a new one, actually, just came out in this latest episode of Bandrew Says. So a lot of longtime listeners know that we are friends of Bandrew Scott from the podcast, his YouTube channel. He also does a podcast called Bandrew Says. Well, on the latest Bandrew Says podcast, he actually announced that he was launching a new band with Stephen Jondrew. So they call it like the Drew Band or something like that. I'm not sure.
It's Band Colin Drew with Jondrew and Bandrew. That's the whole title. Band Colin Drew with Jondrew and Bandrew.
Well, we're kind of stealing the thunder a little bit because you guys were planning a whole special episode launch to be simulcast on the Gonna Geek feed, the Better Podcasting feed, and Bandrew Says feed, as well as podcast's YouTube channel. So you need to save your great promotional items for those. And then another fan of the show, Heather Welsh, she does the podcast Sunshine and Power Cuts. And she's done special events on her own with the summits, which have been great. But say she gets new solar panels that make electricity when rainwater comes down on them, as well as sunshine coming down on it. Wouldn't that be a great time for a special event? I think that would be a great time for a special event.
Absolutely. Now, in closing, we have some final tips for you about special events. First, in our tips category, we want to say, make sure that you do it legally. Make sure you stay in your lane. For example, if you're doing an NFL podcast, you can definitely have legal troubles with that. And if you're doing a special event called a Super Bowl podcast, yeah, you could also have some legal troubles because of copyrighted names and whatnot. So make sure you stay in your legal lane. And another one that's actually a little bit more mainstream that people have troubles with and don't really think about is a lot of people do a winter Christmas festive episode. And in there, a lot of people do what I mentioned earlier, which is add some festive music. Well, keep in mind that just because it's Christmas music doesn't mean that it's not copyrighted. Music performances themselves are copywritten. You know, obviously scores and whatnot after a certain time become public domain. So you got to make sure you have the right rights. I have heard podcasters do this, that they just go, yep, Mariah Carey it is. Throw it on and let's play the podcast. So yeah, definitely stay in your legal lane.
While I do not mind the Mariah Carey songs, matter of fact, she does my favorite song of all for Christmas, I need to take a moment as a better podcasting host just to tell everybody that a lot of stuff that's going on right now with Apple and Google and Spotify is just going to get worse. So don't think you can play music on your podcast and keep it up there forever, because they're going to start running bots and they're going to identify this stuff and you're going to be taken down. And it's just a precautionary note. It's not happening as much right now. It's going to happen a lot more in the future.
For sure. What else we have in the tips category, SP?
Definitely avoid pulling the wool over your audience. You know, it was a good idea to make it known in advance that you're going to be doing a special event. This will make your audience aware and not surprised when it comes up, so that they won't click on subscribe when they start hearing stuff that you don't want to, that they don't want to hear. I mean, and this could make your audience actually more receptive to the ideas. It basically warms them up to it. And it works well for advertising and promotion of it. Also, determine in advance what you hope to get out of it. This is, we talked about this in planning before. We've talked about this in discovering the why you're doing podcasts. And we said it at the top of the show, it definitely should have a reason why you're doing a special event. Now, one of the best things you can do is determine what you hope to get out of the special feature. And this can also help define the structure of that show. And don't be cautious against actually doing the show just to shake things up for you, for your enjoyment, for your fun. Now, it has to fit what the audience is expecting of the show, but if you need a little shake up to revive your interest in doing the show, that's definitely a reason enough. And if that's what you get out of it, that's what you get out of it. Finally, if you have the idea and you start developing it and you're just not feeling it, don't go ahead and continue. And sometimes as we develop our ideas here on Better Podcasting or Gonna Geek, we determine that it just doesn't work right for the show. And that's okay. We scrap it and we move on. Eventually, most of the time we come back to it, we modify it and say, you know what? This would work if we do this. And we actually end up doing it eventually. But we don't force an issue that's not going to work.
Totally. It's like here on Better Podcasting, we had about 13, 14 different pilots before I finally cast SP. So it took a while to get to him. And, you know, the ideas, I just discarded them and I still regret it. Hashtag podgrets.
So listener, if you happen to have any tips that have helped you pull off a special event, we would love to hear them. If you have some special podcasting events that you've already recorded, we'd love to hear about them and how successful they actually were. So go ahead and get those into us. You can catch us on Twitter at BetterPod, but we would love to get either a voicemail or a videogram, and you can email them to us or the links to them if you store them online somewhere at podcast@betterpodcasting.com.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
All right, let's start off with the Google Plus news. For those of you who missed it, that's right. The internet giant Alphabet, if you didn't know that, it's Google's parent company, Alphabet, did announce that they are pulling the plug on Google Plus. Now, if you're asking yourself, what is Google Plus? Well, there you go. That's the problem. So Google Plus was a social network that got a little bit of momentum to start, but then just trickled off like all of the other Google Pass social network attempts. And what they're saying, and this came from Ben Smith, who's Alphabet's VP of engineering, He said that Google Plus, as we know it, will be ending. They're going to be making some changes and essentially tailoring it towards a professional model and away from consumers. Now, this does come on the heel of a bunch of security problems that came out of Google Plus with a bunch of privacy information that was leaked. And so what Smith has said is, given these challenges and the very low usage of the consumer version of Google Plus, we decided to sunset the consumer version of Google Plus. So what this means is podcasters have actually been a pretty active community within Google Plus. That's where
it comes and goes.
That's a fair point. And I will say that I've seen some people question whether or not Google can just go and close hundreds of thousand membership communities. And quite honestly, when you look at how Google Plus stacks up to Facebook's audience, yeah, it's really nothing. The Facebook user base is like what? How big is it? I think it's like 2.23 billion users or something on Facebook. So a couple hundred thousand users on Google Plus, really not that many people. And if they're saying they're sunsetting the consumer version of Google Plus, they're sunsetting it. Google doesn't usually announce these things and backtrack. So I would say that if you're part of a Google Plus community, contrary to what people are saying, it's probably a good idea to assume that it's going away. Obviously, there will be a non-consumer version, but how many of these people that are on those communities right now are going to go and change to be non-consumer? Probably most of them aren't.
I think that if you take a look at how Google Plus has been working the last few years, it just hasn't been really prevalent, and it hasn't been promoted, and it's not really garnering that many new users. People are going to other types of social media. They're going, believe it or not, to LinkedIn. They're going to Instagram. They're starting to go to Discord. They've always been on Reddit. I mean, there's just too many other places for people to go as far as social media goes. While Google Plus was a good option with Facebook, you know, Facebook versus Google Plus, that Facebook has won, at least for now. And I think Google will be back eventually with some sort of social media thing, but I think they're going to have to build it from the ground up. And Google Plus is just not working. It's not branded right. And they're not getting more users on there. The communities aren't necessarily growing as much as you'd want to. So I'm not surprised at this. And to be honest, the amount of new podcasters that have been going into the podcast group and then just spamming their stuff, I'm kind of sick of it. And maybe that's still happening over at Facebook. Again, I'm not on Facebook, so I wouldn't know. But, and I'm not in the Facebook communities or anything like that. So that is a bit old. And if it takes sunsetting it to get rid of it, I'm fine with that. And just move on with life. And that's the way things go. I'm interested in our audience, if they've used Google Plus for their personal podcast communities and how that's worked and how they think they're going to transition into other things. So listeners, if you are in that position, I'm interested to hear where you're at. I know one of our friends on the Good Geek Network, Cody Gaw, was a big Google Plus user, but he has even transitioned with his new professional podcast into a Discord group versus Google Plus. So it seems to be where all the hip people are.
And also, while we're talking about this, I want to just make sure to channel the better half of Bancole and Drew and just tell you that I kind of brushed over the privacy concerns. It is something worth Googling if you are about privacy, because there's, some interesting things that came out of that privacy leak from Google Plus, and I would be remiss not to highlight that.
Well, this coming from the guy that has sold his soul to Google and has been okay with it, too.
Where's my Google home?
Yeah, that's you. That's not Bandrew. Also, we had another issue happen to a lot of podcasters within the past week that we want to talk about. And that is last Wednesday or Thursday, I believe, after we recorded, shows just disappeared from iTunes. And it wasn't what they were actually doing with the keyword stuff. And we'll get to that in a second. They just disappeared. And it happened to so many people that all the podcast media hosts that were servicing these podcasts that were saying, where's my podcast? Because I guess people check every day if their podcast is in iTunes. I do not, but I guess a lot of people do. So enough people actually contacted the podcast services like Libsyn that everybody was coming out and saying, no, wait a minute. This is an iTunes issue, Apple Podcasts issue. The Apple is working on it and they will have it fixed. And indeed, they pretty much had it fixed the next day. So this is an example of making sure that you have another location for people to go to get your podcast. Now, if people were subscribed to your show, they could still go into both the app and the desktop version of iTunes and Apple Podcasts and actually see all the episodes, but they couldn't see the episodes if you were looking for a new show. It would show the show that was there, but there would be no episodes on there. So there'd be no way to listen or check it out or download it or subscribe or anything like that. So it was important for people, and I get it. You get somewhere between 60 and 70% of the community's podcast listenership through Apple. So I hope that they would be available for your show. So that's one thing that happened, Stephen. You have anything to add that I missed there, Stephen?
Not with that, but the other side of the Apple coin is to do with further kickouts of people from the Apple Podcast Store. We've talked about it before. There's a lot of things going on right now about Apple really truncating, we'll call it, condensing down the old Apple Podcast Listeroony. I think that's the official term that they've got over there. And what it is if people are stuffing keywords into their titles and whatnot, that's been the primary way that people are just getting removed from Apple Podcasts. Now, I want to say that that might not be the only thing, because last Thursday, Todd Cochran from Blueberry, he ended up saying that he had a call with Apple, and apparently there are some basic rules that they are looking for. Number one, the show title should be short and distinct, making sure that if you have a colon or a dash, you want to see what is after it, because it will be highly scrutinized, is apparently their position right now, according to Todd Cochran. The other thing, though, and this is the one that's going to get a lot of people, is the author needs to be an author. So the author tag has to be the author of the show. So if it was like us, it would be Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer, not Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer, people who have been doing a combination of 10 years of podcasting and 3,000 episodes or whatever. It's got to be proper names for an author. And also for the episode description, watch the keyword stuffing there. The episode title needs to be descriptive of the episode, and just don't stuff a bunch of descriptors into your episode description, because apparently this is something else that they're going to be cracking down on. So what this means for you as a hobby podcaster is two things. Number one, go check your feed main properties right away. Those are the easiest things that you can fix. Check your title, check your description, and check your author tag. Check those over and see if they look like they're keyword stuffing. And the second thing, this is the most important thing, because here at Better Podcasting, we've been doing 150 episodes. Gonna Geek Show, we're up in the 250s. Where's Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. at? What did you say you're at over there?
252 episodes so
right.
far.
So lots of episodes with lots of information filled out. So the number one thing that we can say for you as a hobby podcaster is book a week off of work so you can revise your back catalog, because you know that's going to come up at one point or another. Okay, kidding aside, don't book a week off of work, you're a hobby podcaster, but you need to know that if they're looking, they're probably eventually going to look at your back feed as well. There's got to be a reason for all of this, and so have fun. Have fun, get some beer, maybe, I don't know, whatever, wine, whatever you drink, and make it a night.
So about a year ago, we did an episode and I talked about the state of the podcast industry and how it applies to the hobby podcaster. And I mentioned during that show that I am concerned that eventually the infrastructure is going to change so that the hobby podcaster might be forced out. And at the time I was speculating, well, maybe iTunes is going to charge to be in their directory service. Well, this is not what happened, but it's effectively what happened is that iTunes is rapidly changing what the criteria is to list on their service. And it's changing so fast. If you're not actually keeping up with the podcast infrastructure in the industry, that you might get left behind. Your podcast could get pulled. Heck, I even know another podcast about podcasting that got pulled. And yes, it was for keyword stuffing. And I informed the individual, and hopefully that individual will update the show so that it comes back, because it's not a bad show. But I mean, I was shocked that it was actually pulled, because I was looking for it because I was trying to promote it on Reddit. And these are the things that hobby podcasters have to look out for. They have to look out for rapidly changing industry standards, because your show could get pulled from a major distribution hub like Spotify, like Pandora, if that gets opened up, like iTunes or like Apple Podcasts, and then all of a sudden you're not available. Whereas other people who are paying attention are available, so new prospective listeners could get to their shows versus your shows. And generally, once a person gets hooked on a certain show, that's going to be it. Very rarely does somebody go out, like, ask yourself, when's the last time I went out and looked at several different shows in a genre to find the best show? I recently did it with Star Wars, because I wanted to refine which Star Wars podcasts I was listening to. Listen to a bunch of shows. I didn't find one that I would actually subscribe to. So I went back to the original ones that I was listening to. And I was like, you know what? They're the ones I want to listen to. So that's what I'm going to listen to. And your average listener is probably going to do the same thing, unless somebody that they know tells them, oh, you need to really look at this show or listen to this show. And that's going to be good. So pay attention to the podcast industry. If you're listening to the show, if you're subscribed to the show, we're going to tell you what's going on. But this happens so fast within the past few weeks that if you're a month behind listening to Better Podcasting, you wouldn't have known that you needed to go in and change your author tag and change your title tag in your RSS. And that's the number one reason why shows are getting pulled from Apple. It's not the only reason, but it's the number one reasons right now.
And I want to take a moment here to I guess I'll call it soapboxing for a minute, but I want to say that, like, I think that this is a really good flag for us as a podcast community to realize that there is a certain level of power that is scary that Apple has for podcasting, because so many things pull from Apple Podcasts that it's such an important thing that people make sure that they're listed on Apple Podcasts. Otherwise, this would be a non-issue. And because of that, and the way that they're currently not providing information, I have heard many industry experts guess at what this means, because they don't know, because they're getting it either from Joe at Apple or whatever. There's no published documentation about this. Because this is essentially willy-nilly, like, let's be real here. This is coming out through secondhand sources willy-nilly about the changes. I think it's time for us as an industry to consider that the primary, those, you know, companies that are using destinations to go to different places. I'm using destinations. I know that's Lipson's term, but there's a whole bunch of other people that use that. But essentially, they have an isolated feed for the different locations of where you're going. I think it's time for us to consider that Apple maybe needs to be its own feed and not your primary RSS, because the fact that we have set up and we've, you know, originally with Google Plus Music, we all agreed, okay, they have their own tags. Maybe they should have their own unique version of the RSS feed. Apple's making some weird changes. And why are we letting that completely impact the core RSS? I would like to see the public practice myself go towards, okay, it's, you know, betterpodcasting.com/RSS/Apple or whatever it is, so that we're future-proofing that Apple feed. I'd like to see that sort of be the norm. I think that this is a scary thing that Apple's doing right now, just changing it. And I think that it would be a really good move. So that's sort of my, like, hopes and wish list for what people will start to do here. Because as I said last week, lots of times I recommend media hosts. And, you know, I think that media hosts have the consumer in mind. And so I think this is things worth considering.
That said, you could self-host your own RSS feeds. And notice I put an S on the end there, feeds, and have one feed designated for each major distribution hub. And then just have a general RSS for people that just want to click on the RSS through whatever podcatcher that they're actually using. And you could definitely have that linked somewhere on your website. You could have multiple RSS feeds. I'm not a webmaster. I don't know how to do that specifically. I know when you mix and match RSS feeds on a website, that is something that's a little bit higher level than your basic user,
yes,
but it is still possible. And you might want to investigate that if you do self-host your RSS feed, which we also would recommend being a possibility to use on this, on your hobby podcast. And it's kind of funny that Steven and I are taking like opposite ends here because I'm the media hoster and he's the self-hoster. But that just says that we are in link step with what Steven was saying. Actually, Steven came up with this idea and he mentioned it to me. I was like, you know, that makes sense. I was trying to think of ways like, well, with like Libsyn specifically, your RSS feed is basically your Apple feed. And then you could have other destinations through other feeds. But then I was thinking, I think the way that Spotify is submitted to Spotify on Libsyn is using your regular RSS feed. Well, I'll have to ask about that. I think we've heard from other podcast media hosts that they actually use a secondary feed to get to Spotify specifically, but it just depends on where your podcast is. Still, I think you're right. I think for each major distribution point, it should be a separate RSS feed.
Yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully we get some clearer information about this in the future. And if you had any experience with this, let us know, because I do know that some people have been successful in getting reactivated in Apple Podcasts. At least that's what they say. But let's go ahead and find out what you did have to say about your podcast this week. All right, let's kick it off with a tweet we got last week shortly after the show from the one and only Bandrew over at Podcastage. That's right, at Twitter, at Podcastage. He said, if you live stream your podcast, this is why, and he had that pregnant pause in there, by the way. He said, this, no, he didn't have that, is why I think it's a good idea to stream to Periscope. Your show will appear at the top of your followers' Twitter stream, free promotion at the top of the app. And he sent a screenshot to us, which actually showed while we were streaming last week that we were actually at the top above all of his tweets, which is pretty cool. So definitely going to go ahead and use that to do some obscene things.
Well, I do appreciate this because we didn't know this was going to be a side effect for streaming on Periscope through Twitter. And that's really cool. Glad that he showed that to us. And thank you everybody that's been listening to us on Periscope the last few weeks. It is a bit of a stretch for me to actually do it. And for any of those that have seen my wiring diagram, you can see why it's a bit of a stretch for a normal person to actually do it and get decent audio quality out of it. But it seems to be working. So if you want to go through the pain of setting up a separate live feed out for your podcast, then this is definitely a way to do it. There's actually a reply to that tweet from @Ret2Society. And @Ret2Society said, the only reason I don't do it is that Periscope requires a weird aspect ratio. And if you use something like OBS to restream, it distorts the image to make it fit the parameters. Otherwise, it's a great tool for promotion. Okay, that's another issue altogether. That's a video issue. What we're doing is audio only streaming through Periscope to get on Twitter. And it seems to be the only way that you can actually live stream audio to Twitter, which is why we're doing it. But yeah, video, whole other issue. And in the past, you had to do it through your iOS device, or I didn't even know if you could do it through an Android device. So you couldn't pipe in, like if you're recording on YouTube or you're LinkedIn through Skype, and then you're sending the stream out through XSplit or OBS. I don't even know if that was possible, but maybe it is now. I don't know. So that is a whole other set of parameters that we're not worrying about on the Get a Geek Network. We're just doing audio only. So there was also a great question that you asked on our Better Pod Twitter account, right, Steven?
Yes, it was, why do you hashtag podcast? And I don't know, one of the best questions I've ever thought of. It was SP. And we got a couple responses to this. And the first one was The League of Villains at Villain Podcast. What a solid Twitter name. It said, my kids thought it would be fun. It's more fun than I thought it would be. I really like the idea that people have an interest in something that I am interested in and we get to share it together. That's cool. I really like the way that that's described there about sharing the interest together, because that is what podcasting is. you've got people who share the same interest. And we've talked about it. Podcasting is a very intimate thing, especially when you've checked out the video side of this show. But absolutely. So great response, Villain Podcast.
We also had a response from Alt Nomit, and that's spelled Alltinomit. And Kenneth, who runs the account, said, "Hard to say. I love it, though, and feel the urge when I have not been doing it for a while. It is fun to entertain, fun to talk with friends and strangers about things that interest us, and fun to produce something that sounds good. It's one of my favorite hobbies." So thank you very much for that, Kenneth. We also had a reply from @BandrewSays. Wow, he's just hitting us with tweets left and right with different accounts this week. He said, @BetterPod, you need to push the darkness away somehow. Am I right? In seriousness, it started as just an excuse to set aside time to research and talk about news. Now it's more about being fun, analyzing news through the lens of a paranoid content creator and answering questions. Yes, Bandrew, that's particularly of note when you go into your little green corner and you talk about conspiracies.
We also had Navox. We'll go with Navox. She said it is more of a creative outlet for me to podcast about Warcraft and all of the geeky, nerdy things I enjoy. And I apologize. I know you're a listener, so my apologies for butchering your name. We had Capes on the Couch. @CapesOnTheCouch say we wanted to further discuss about #mental health and figured #comic books and pop culture was the best way to do it. A good tie in there.
It is indeed. We do it all the time on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. There was also a response from @WinKellyCharles, and she said, "Get the word out on CP." And just a note, CP stands for cerebral palsy. And if you have a question about that, I would recommend that you also see the story behind the Paralympics. And that is the story behind episode number 107 and when Charles actually introduced that segment. So, yes, I do remember that.
We also had Get in the Car, loser, which was @GITCLPOD, said whether they are laughing at us or with us, it doesn't matter. We just want people laughing. Awesome. Fantastic. Laughter is such an important part of life. And that's great to see that that's the target of your podcast. We had Jonathan Bloom @JonathanBloom say building communication skills, creative outlet. And it is fun.
We also had @TheZacharyWeb say to talk about topics I love and geek out on podcasting tech.
In our second to last one, we had The Gap Podcast, which was @PodcastGap. Say, I love talking and socializing with my friends. And finally, in our last one came from one of our own. SP, why don't you go ahead and read what that one was?
Says, this is from @StargatePioneer and says, for the love of my amazing Hanscom co-host, @StephenJohnDrew. Special note, I did not write that tweet. Steven actually put that in the show notes right as we were coming up on it. And those are his words, not mine, including Hanscom.
Apparently I am. Apparently I need to work on my typing skills. We also, in an unrelated tweet, had from AureliaPod. Say, @BetterPod, with today's talk on ground buzzing and ground loop isolators, I have a question. If I have a hum/buzz while monitoring via an HA400 headphone splitter/amp that isn't in the recording on the H6, is that a potential cause? I will say yes, it is a potential cause. Not always, but it is. And I'll give you a firsthand example of that, actually. So, myself, up until I got the Zoom L12, I had my headphones plugged into my HA400 headphone amplifier. Never had a problem with the buzz with the headphones directly plugged in. However, I also have going from that amplifier my regular computer speakers. I have determined that there is a ground loop that goes between the two of those. So you could potentially have something that is causing a ground loop issue, but it could also be a faulty piece of equipment. It could be just something else getting in the way. But yes, that definitely could be a reason. And the reason why is because the HA400 runs off of power, and that's generally where you see ground loops is by powered devices. So that could definitely be a reason. And what you might want to do is take one of those isolators that we spoke of and just throw it between the HA400 and your headphones and see if it goes away. If it does go away, then you've found the problem. But otherwise, look at the input. Try throwing it between the whatever the HA400 input is and where that goes. Put it there because it could be a problem there. Like if your computer, for example, goes into your HA400, put it there because the ground loop could be in multiple places. I think with your case, you probably go from your Zoom into your HA400, and the Zoom is powered, the HA400 is powered. That is a recipe for a ground loop issue. SP, what do you got?
I definitely think it can, and the biggest issue that I think it can be is because that HA400 is powered. It's actually plugged in, so it could be plugged in and causing the ground loop through the normal ways that you could get a ground loop through your home or wherever you're plugged into AC or power system. So yeah, I would try to troubleshoot and take as much out as you can and try to monitor along each stage if you can and see what the issue is. And then if you find the issue, put the ground loop isolator in. And if it works, it works. You're all good there. We also got a tweet from at Mr. Nessie, and he said, thanks Stargate at Stephen John Drew, and he hashtagged Better Geeky Coffee and at Better Pod and at Gonna Geek. And that was because Stephen sent Christopher Nessie a couple of mugs, a Gonna Geek mug and a Better Podcasting mug, because we consider imitation the best part of flattery. And apparently he designed his network because of the Gonna Geek network design. So we just wanted to say thank you for tipping your hat to us. And so we sent a couple of mugs. At Joshua Liston tweeted us as well, and he said, at Stephen John Drew, at Stargate Pioneer, how many affiliate plugs would the gurus have jammed into BP-150? 979.79 plugs? How many did the guys actually get into BP-150? Zero. This makes me happy. Yeah, we don't actually promote anything on this show other than go watch our rest of our great content. So that is awesome, and I actually prefer that way. I don't like a lot of plugs or commercials in my podcast. It's one of the reasons why I love podcasting, even versus satellite radio back in the day. So that's what we're able to give you based on what we have invested in our own productions. We actually don't earn any money from podcasting whatsoever.
And finally, in our email, we had Jonathan Bloom send us an email just today and said, listening to the latest Bandrew Says podcast, man, how many plugs are you going to get out of us, Bandrew? And he said, I finally figured it out. Stephen Bandrew and Stephen John Drew, they're the same person. We've never seen both in the same room. Cue the Bandrew Says conspiracy corner music. Oh, and also the latest episode of Ear Biscuits by Rhett and Link talks about YouTube burnout and is a great one for every creative to listen to. So we had a really good point, which was about me, and a lesser good point, which was about a creative source. So there you go.
I will be the first to tell you that even though I've not seen them in the same room at the same time, that Stephen John Drew and Mr. Bandrew are two way different people. They are not the same person. I'm sorry, Jonathan, if you think they're the same, but they are not. I mean, good analyst there. I mean, I have not seen them in the same place, so I guess it's possible, but I don't think so. And I have seen Stephen's brother, David, so I know that there's a difference.
Three words, or are we? ?
You need to get the conspiracy corner music and effects and everything from Bandrew if you want to go there.
By the way, for those of you who aren't familiar with this Bandrew that we've been speaking about, he does a couple of different shows, and one of the things that's probably most relevant to you as a podcaster is the Podcastage YouTube channel. You should definitely check that out, youtube.com/podcastage. A lot of really great microphone and other equipment information on that show, so check that out. That's Podcastage on the YouTube. There, it's officially the name, the YouTube.
YouTube. I thought it was the YouTubes.
Well, that is going to take us to the end of the show. Before we wrap up, We just want to remind you that we're part of the Gunna Geek Network. The Gunna Geek Network has a bunch of amazing geeky content on it. We encourage you to check that out at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. But if you have a geeky show, you can always apply at GunnaGeek.com/join. We do take applications to join the network. If you have a geeky show, feel free to check it out. And if you think we'd be a good fit with you, please submit that there and we will review your application.
Thank you for listening to Better Podcasting. We do this for you. And thanks for all the great congratulations that we received for reaching 150 episodes last week. That was a fun episode for us to do. And we'll see if we can duplicate some kind of funness or a special event episode for 200. No promises, but we are thinking about it even now.
Awesome. So there you go. For episode number 151 of Better Podcasting, I'm Stephen John Drew saying, I feel like I need to get prepared for Christmas. There was a lot of Christmas talk in here.
I'm SP saying, of course he needs to think about preparing for Christmas. He has a billion Christmas lights he needs to get out. I'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.